Yes, the parable of the Good Samaritan is to be found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, starting to read at verse 25. If anybody wants a church Bible, it is on page 1042 in the church Bibles. The parable of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Jean. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we pray that, even though this story is so well known, you might show us something new tonight, that we might learn from it and see some way in which we might follow you more nearly. Amen. So, yes, it is such a well-known story, isn't it? On the face of it, the lesson seems obvious. I wonder who you think the good guy in the story is. We've all heard of the organisation, the Samaritans, and accept that Samaritans are there to help people. They're the good guys, and it's really easy to dismiss the priest and the Levite, who are so often depicted as being really mean people. We criticise them so easily. Why didn't they go to the stranger's aid? Aren't people like that bad? But wait. If we look at this story from their perspective, we might find it's not as straightforward as it appears at first sight. I'm not sure that Jesus was criticizing the priest and the Levite. I don't think they were intended to be objects of attack. Let's look at the story again and ask, Would we have acted any differently if we were in their shoes? Just to set the scene, the distance from Jerusalem to Jericho is about 15 miles in a straight line. However, the road takes a longer route and goes through pretty hazardous countryside. More hazardous than the North Downs Way that we walked along earlier this year. The path descends from above 2,500 feet at Jerusalem to 800 feet below sea level at Jericho. So travelling from one town to another is like going down or up the side of a big mountain. And because of the rugged terrain, in Jesus' day, groups of robbers would use the road as a place where they could easily ambush those who were travelling along, especially if they were travelling alone. And this is exactly what happened to the first of the men travelling on this road in Jesus' story. The man was left half dead. So, there's a badly beaten body at the side of the road, completely immobile. Now, when the priest passes by, let's think about what might go through his mind. Firstly, he'd think about how any action that he takes would impact his priestly role. Now, priests in those days were a little bit different to what they are today. They were very important figures in the Jewish religion. They were the mediators between God and the people. And at that place, that time, the only place where they could carry out their duty was in the temple at Jerusalem. In fact, their very livelihood depended on being able to make sacrifices because they were entitled to specified portions of the offerings that were brought into the temple. Keeping themselves ritually clean and holy was really, really important, both for others who came to make sacrifices and for themselves. There were a number of things that could make them unclean and unable even to enter the temple, let alone carry out their jobs. These things were all set out in the Torah, or the first five books of our Bible today. In particular, the books of Leviticus and Numbers gave instruction to priests on this matter. And one of the ways in which someone became unclean was for them to touch a dead body. In Numbers, the instruction is given that anyone who touches a dead body remains unclean for 7 days. 7 days. That's a long time not to be able to carry out your job. So the priest's reaction to seeing what might be taken for a dead body is to avoid it. To touch it would be like breaking the law. No wonder he passed by on the other side. And the same would have been true for the Levite. It was their job to prepare the temple for worship. Being unclean would have meant that there was nothing that he'd be able to do either. As well as being afraid of breaking the law and making themselves unclean and unable to do their work, the Levite and the priest might also have been very aware of the place where they were. This was a dangerous road. There were certainly robbers around, and it might even be that this body had been placed as bait to trap travellers. Who was to say that the person lying beside the road wasn't faking it and part of a group just waiting for someone to stop and offer help? As soon as they did, their eyes would be taken off the road and the surrounding rocks, and a band of robbers could soon be upon them. I'm sure the priest and the Levite did feel compassion for the traveller, but they had to make a choice between two things. The first duty that they had was to carry out their religious role, to meet with others at the temple, and to be holy. And the other was to help the man lying beside the road. Now, if we look at the risks associated with that second duty, this was clearly the more risky option, with no obvious reward attached. And no doubt the thought was, let someone else who doesn't have such important responsibilities in the temple help that man. I can't risk touching a dead body. And how would we have acted in the same circumstances? Would we have broken the law and taken the more risky option? So, what about the next person walking down the road, the Samaritan? Well, as I said before, we think of him as the hero, don't we? Because this story is so well known, we think of the Samaritan as the person who would obviously help the man who'd been left half dead. We don't really stop to consider what it was that the Samaritan risked. So, what would have been going through his mind as he walked along the road? What was it that he risked? Well, firstly, he did risk danger in the same way as the priest and the Levite would have done if they'd stopped to help. What if the man had been placed there as a decoy at the side of the road? Or if he was part of the gang of bandits himself and just faking his injuries? There was clearly a risk of physical harm associated with helping the man. But the Samaritan didn't walk on. He did stop, so delaying his journey. I wonder what it was that he was going to do in the place he was going to. He obviously had money and belongings. He was travelling with a donkey, so he wasn't just taking a stroll. Now, I don't know about you, but when I've got somewhere to go and some work to be done, my mind is completely focused on that thing. I'm very conscious of how long it'll take me to get there, and delays of any sort result in all sorts of stresses building up. The prospect of being delayed as a result of looking after someone else when there's something important to be done is really stressful. And the Samaritan also expended energy and expense in looking after the man. His donkey was probably being used to carry heavy things, and it may be that in putting the man on the donkey, he had to carry some of these things himself. And the money that was given to the innkeeper was about 2 days' wages. I wonder how much that would represent for you today. And not only that, the Samaritan offered the innkeeper more when he returned again. And finally, the Samaritan, he was in a strange place and looked after someone who wasn't from his own community. The road between Jerusalem and Jericho wasn't somewhere that many Samaritans would have travelled. They'd have kept to their own land to the north. The Jews thought of Samaritans as the enemy. They called them dogs. The Samaritan had every reason to leave the man half dead and not come to his aid at all. Thinking about the relationship between Jews and Samaritans, I'm reminded of the trouble in the Middle East at the moment. For the Samaritan to stop and help, it's almost like a Hamas leader finding an Israeli beaten up. I wonder if he'd stop and help. Or would he see it as an opportunity to get back at all the bad things that have happened recently by simply walking on and leaving the man alone? No, thinking about all the circumstances, there were obviously huge risks faced by the Samaritan in acting as he did. It wasn't an easy decision to make. So we might well wonder why Jesus had him stop and take care of the man. What was he trying to explain to the expert in the law when he told this parable? Was he telling him to take more risks? Was he telling him to disregard Jewish laws? Was he telling him to be friends with his enemies? Well, the man Jesus was talking to was an expert in the law. Jesus knew this because he'd already tested him on what was written in the law. And the expert had given all the right answers. He'd proved himself a good pupil in being able to answer the questions. So maybe Jesus had picked the characters he did to make a point. The expert knew that the priest and the Levite represented the answers that the law would give, while the Samaritan, well, he wouldn't normally be someone that the expert would have taken any notice of. The Samaritan was prepared to break the ceremonial law by touching the man's body, despite the risks associated with this action. The rule from the book of Numbers was just as important for the Samaritan as it was for the Jews in excluding them from any religious activity for 7 days. Jesus is telling the expert that following the law isn't enough. God's mercy is given despite the law being broken, and it might be necessary to disregard that law in certain cases. And being a Christian today is not only about knowing all the answers to what Jesus has asked for us. In fact, sometimes knowing all the answers is a disadvantage. We'll be judged not only by what we believe, but by the life we live in response. Our faith has to become a living and active faith. Yes, reading and studying the Bible is important, and it can teach us much of the truth of life, but it's not all there is to being a Christian. And coming to church, like you have done tonight, yes, that's really important because it provides an opportunity for us to worship God, to meet up with other Christians, and to share something about ourselves. But there's more to being a Christian. Being a Christian is responding to all that Christ has done for us. This response needs to be rooted in the Word. It needs to be focused on our praise of God. And it needs to be grounded in finding community with other Christians. But it also needs to come into contact with the rest of the world. How often are we caught up in all that we do in church and miss something else that's not connected with the church? Jesus tells the expert in the law to go and show mercy to his neighbours, all his neighbours. He sends him on a mission to help those who are wounded. And this isn't only those who are wounded from his own community. It's those who are in a different place as well. We have many, many examples of people within our church community doing this kind of thing, and there's a real diversity in the types of organisations supported. Others who we help may be physically far away. They may be economically far away. Or they may be spiritually far away. Or they may be far away from our community here in St Mary's on all three of those spectra: physical, economic, and spiritual. But they are still our neighbours. The expert in the law had asked what was it necessary for him to do to inherit eternal life. Now, he knew the answer to that question, and so do we. We know that we need to love God and love our neighbour. Loving our neighbour is critical to this action because it's through that active love that others also get to know about the love of God. God loved us and showed his love for us by coming to be where we are here on earth and showing us mercy in dying on the cross for us. Jesus was the Good Samaritan to us all when he came to earth. We gain eternal life not because of what we know and what we do, but because of what Jesus did and who he is in us. But our response to what he's done has to be to tell others about it in actions as well as in words. By helping those who are far away from ourselves, we're showing them God's love and his mercy. God's love doesn't distinguish between different communities. He wants to reach everyone. That's an important part of the message in the Good Samaritan. In approaching someone from a different place, there's a risk involved. But in doing so, you represent Jesus coming to God's battered and helpless people as Saviour. It's Jesus who pursues, secures, and maintains our ability to have eternal life. He died that we might gain it. He left us his spirit and sent us out on a mission to show him to others. But remember, Jesus is a risk taker. He's a bit of a rebel. So in showing him to others, we also need to take risks. We need to remain focused on Jesus rather than our responsibilities in this world. And this might entail making difficult choices, just as it did for the Samaritan. So, what was it that Jesus was trying to explain to the expert in the law when he told this parable? Was he telling him to take more risks? Was he telling him to disregard the Jewish laws? Was he telling him to be friends with his enemies? I think it was probably all three of these. And the message is just as relevant today. We shouldn't worry about what we might lose out on by coming into contact with the rest of the world. It's people who aren't in our church community who are missing out on the good news that Jesus brings. And so, by helping others in whatever way that is, we can show them the love of God and his mercy. And yes, it might be necessary to go out of our way and take a risk. But without that, we're not following Christ. We're not being Christ to others. So, go on. Take a risk and show the love of God and his mercy to someone who really does have no idea at all of who Jesus really is. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for Jesus and his love for us. We pray that you will help us to see how loving you and following Jesus involves loving our neighbor as ourselves. And we pray that you will help us to work in the power of your Spirit, to take risks and to show your love and your mercy. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.